Well, good morning. Did you see or feel the weight of the scope of the mission that we've been called to by the prophets and by Jesus himself, that we would be a light to the whole world, a light unto the nations? How in the world do we do that? Well, today is an end and a beginning. We're at the very end right now of our four-week series called Be, and I want to start with this today. I've been trying to communicate a seismic shift in focus, without changing the heart of the message that Jesus Christ is the one and only hope for us. I want you to hear my heart, and I ask for some grace, because sometimes God starts to work on me and I just can't wait to get it out even before it's super clear. So what I've been trying to communicate to you is that all of the things that we do for God flow naturally out of who we are. Unfortunately, sometimes, even in laying out these messages, I feel like we've still walked away feeling like, yeah, but I gotta do something to be something. And it's hard to communicate to you these nuanced theological things with clarity. But here's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. I'm going to spend less time giving you bullet points and checklists, because I believe God is calling us to instead be shaped and formed individually into his image. And he's made us to bring glory to him. And the way that that happens in our life is when we're made more like him. Now, what happens when you're made more like him is that your attitudes and your actions begin to look like his attitudes and actions. And so if we talk about who we are and how to be shaped by the Spirit and what that looks like in your life, I want to talk to you more about who you are going to be than about the things we're going to do. That will flow out of who you are. For the last 3 weeks, I've said, number one, we need to be alive. And that's about knowing God. And you are at square zero. You are at dead in the ground if you are not alive in Jesus Christ. So you need to find life in him first. And you receive that life when you hear the truth and it awakens your heart. You believe it and God does something miraculous in you and you just know it's true. And you go from a dead man to a brand new life. So number one, we got to be alive. Number two, God calls us to be holy. And I think too often we want to set our own level of holiness where we feel comfortable. I'll be godly to the degree that I can still be comfortable and not stick out and look too weird in the culture. But God says we're to be holy as he is holy. Pure, blazing, spotless righteousness. And although we can never attain that before we're face to face with Jesus, he continues to shape us by the Spirit and make us more like that. So don't resist it. Mm-hmm. Don't resist it. Allow him to do that shaping work in you, even right now when you hear these words today. Number three, we're called to be the church, and that's what we talked about last week. What it looks like to be a community of faith, to be a community that speaks life and encouragement to each other with grace, because Jesus deals with us so graciously and so lovingly. And as we become like him, see, We're going to be for each other a reflection, a constant reminder of Jesus' love and grace and mercy and encouragement. So be the church. And I've tried to communicate this truth. What we do flows naturally out of who we are. And today, that holds true as well. We want to talk about this. I want you to be a light. Be a light. Today, we lean in again to our call to make disciples by loving people. But I want to keep this lens always before us. Who are we going to be? Not what is our program or what is our strategy, what are the bullet points, and what are you going to do? Who are we going to be? God has made us and saved us not primarily to do something, but to be somebody. And I want that truth to sink down deep into you. That's a work that only God can do. And it happens at a one-on-one level with God. And I guess that's a big part of this focus. I might talk less about our strategies and our group action this year. Because you, personally, individually, every one of you is created to bring God glory. You specifically. And the way the local church becomes a beacon of light that radiates into a neighborhood and changes lives for the glory of God is when individual hearts are transformed. It doesn't happen as a collective. Now, the Lutheran Church and our church really deeply values baptism as an entry point into the faith. It's something that God does when he meets an individual. There are other church traditions that don't value baptism as deeply. They see it as an outward sign of something that God has done in you, but it's something they say that we do, not something that God does. And it's less holy. And I've heard stories of youth retreats and summer camps, for example, in some of those churches, where they literally baptize the crowd with a super soaker. But God needs to work on your heart individually. And so that's why today is an end. This is the last message in the series, but it's also a beginning. This is the grid through which I believe God is calling us to filter every challenge and every directive and every encouragement to do things. The truth is, Scripture teaches us in 1,000 ways that when an individual heart is transformed by the gospel, new actions and attitudes and habits happen. There is a hunger to know God. There's a newfound and growing desire to take delight in God and express it in worship and obedience. A new gracious understanding and a desire to serve one another within the church will take root. And growing courage to live as a witness to the life-changing power of Jesus Christ will manifest itself in a passion to love people selflessly, without concern for recompense or restitution. So this year we speak to your heart, and the rest will come. God says so. Lord, I need your help today. And I pray, Father, that we will understand today what it means to be a light in the holistic, intrinsic way that you are calling us to be shaped into your image so we shine like you. Do your work right now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And that's the point of all things, all things move toward the glory of God. And I want to draw out three ideas that come out of this teaching from Jesus. Number one, the world is full of darkness. The world is absolutely full of darkness. Now that might not be a surprise to you. But I want to communicate how completely I mean that. When I was, 13, my family took a family trip to Corpus Christi, and we played on the beach on Padre Island for a week. And I remember during that trip, we took a side trip on the way down or the way back to Cascade Caverns. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. Ruth, there's a big waterfall in a cave underground. You walk down through the cave. It's about 132 feet down. And then if you're an expert, they allow you to climb down to another waterfall that's 230 feet underground. We didn't do that. But we walk in and we're taking the tour and we're looking at the different formations and some of the animal life in the cave. And then at one point, our guide said, you know, we almost never get to experience total darkness because we're surrounded by ambient light all the time. All the time. And so even what you think is dark isn't really dark. But down here underground, there is no light getting in. And they said, in fact, it's so dark down here. We're going to turn the lights off in a minute. And when we do, it's so dark that if you wave your hands in front of your face, you can't see it at all. And so they said, first of all, hold on to the hand railing because it's disorienting when it gets this dark. And so everybody leaned up against the railing. They said, okay, we're going to count to three. We're going to turn the lights off. Just listen to my voice now. And the lights went out. And our guide said, okay, now I want to prove how dark it is. Wiggle your fingers in front of your face. In fact, take your thumb, put it on your nose, wiggle your fingers. You won't be able to see them. And of course, as soon as they turned the lights on, all of us were doing this. See, we can't really experience total darkness here. If you've ever been in a small town or out in the country where the power's gone off, and there's no light except candles, you realize how dark things can really get at night. But even then, there's usually stars and moonlight peeking through the cracks. But when you're in total darkness, utter darkness, not just the kind of dark with lights from the outside sneaking in, but utter darkness. It gives you a sense of unbelievable vertigo and disorientation and dislocation. That's why the guide said, hold on to the railing. What Jesus is saying when he says the world needs light is the world. And that's language that means human existence. Left to itself, inevitably goes to greater and greater disorder and dislocation and disintegration. In other words, things fall apart. Everything falls apart. Right? That's the second law of thermodynamics. Everything leads away from order toward disorder and chaos. It takes a terrific amount of work to stop it. Doesn't it? Think of our bodies physically. We're falling apart. And we try to stop it, but inevitably it happens anyway. What's the natural tendency? To fall apart. Eventually we die and we literally fall apart. And eventually all of our molecules will separate from one another. And as horrible as that is, everything else is the same way. Everything from flowers to rocks. Flowers fall apart quicker than we do. But rocks fall apart more slowly. Even the rocks, though, eventually split apart. They're pebbles, and then they're sand, and then they're nothing. How about relationally? and socially. All relationships tend to go bad. Only with the greatest of effort can you keep relationships together, which just goes to show what Jesus is saying is right. That the natural tendency is to go to greater and greater disorder and darkness. That's the reason why, for example, different races can't get along so often. When you're in a multicultural, really truly interracial situation, you know you have to constantly work and constantly pray, constantly talk and constantly work and work and work to make sure communication is okay and we're able to keep seeing eye to eye. The minute you stop working like crazy, things fall apart and there's misunderstanding and resentment and there's anger. That looks like society right now. Look at marriage, the ultimate relationship. Look how hard it is to keep that thing intact. Look how easy it is for that to unravel. Crime, racism, and war, and class struggle, and labor management problems, and divorce. All of these things just show that the natural tendency in the social area is to what? Tend toward disintegration, to disorder, to dislocation, and to darkness. That's what Jesus is saying when he says the world needs light. And St. Olaf, who's the light Jesus is talking about? You are. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. You, the church, the local church, you are called to be the light. And I'm not going to give you a to-do list here. It's a gospel proclamation, okay? You are the light, Jesus said. Not go be the light. You are the light, church. Amen. Very similar, by the way, to a statement that was made by Jesus in Acts chapter 1, 8. And I had gotten this wrong for so many years. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. And then these rings radiate out from Judea, or for Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. And I always read that to mean, you go be my witnesses. You go do something. You go be the light. Do something. No, you are the light of the world. It's a gospel proclamation. Interesting, in English, the word you can be plural or it can be singular, right? I can say, you, come over here. And unless you look at me, you don't know if I'm talking about one kid or a whole group of people. You. This word in Greek is plural. The gathered church shines bright when it's willing to courageously be itself. That's all you have to do, church, is just be who you are. Be who you are. God has cleaned that sin. He's ripped it out of you. He's given you new life and a new nature. Embrace it and be the light. Be the light. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, for you are all children of light. Children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. We are not. We need the courage to just be who we are. That's it. And you know who you are in your core. You know, you church who loves Jesus. You know what he made you for and what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to live. You know, because his spirit is in you, working. Just be that person, would you? Stop hiding and blending in. The first thing that we're looking at in this text is that the world is full of darkness. And Jesus says his church is the light, but I want you to look at this. There's a problem. The problem is we have to fight our nature because it seems we have a tendency to prefer blending in. blending in with the darkness instead of shining bright. And that's the second thing I want to teach you today. Number two, the light needs to be seen. You can't just huddle up in your church building and talk to one another. What did God say? It is too small a thing. Too light a thing that we would just call one another to faith. No, you are meant to be a light unto the nations. I want you to look at these next couple of lines from Jesus now, picking up halfway through Matthew 5, verse 14. A city on a hill, he said, cannot be hidden. And that is the way our church is meant to be in this neighborhood. And I have a feeling that a lot of the people around here don't even know what's going on here. They don't know who we are. Why is that? A city on a hill, shining bright, can't be hidden. We ought not to be either. Everybody around this church ought to know who we are because of the way we live, the way we shine. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. It doesn't make any sense to take something that's meant to light up the whole room and hide it. We're supposed to lift it high. And then it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. So that, and that's my favorite when I see that, so that gives us purpose. Let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The end of all things is the glory of God. So be who you are meant to be and who you're made to be so that God receives more glory. I want to take away any Christian list of to-dos from your mind right now. Any heavy feelings of, oh man, I know what I should be doing to shine. Let go of those right now. Just let them go. I want to ask you to reframe your thinking. Instead of making a mental checklist, can you instead simply be a believer? Be a disciple of Jesus? Be a son or a daughter with courage. God-given courage. Why does Jesus have to tell us these obvious things about light? A city on a hill can't be hidden. We know that. We don't put a lamp under a basket. Why does Jesus have to tell us that? Because you and I tend to prefer blending into shining. And that exposes the sickness inside of us. As it says in the Gospel of John, the true light has come into the world, but people preferred darkness to the light. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Can you feel that in you? Yeah, you know what? I am embarrassed of my faith sometimes. And it's easier for me not to say anything or to tilt my life toward the culture around me to blend in, not ruffle any feathers. I don't want to be too obnoxious. I just want to blend. Here's the truth about what it means to be the light of the world, which is what Jesus called us, the light of the world. Third truth today, we only become the light when Jesus conquers us. That's it. He's got to conquer your heart. We have nothing to bring to the table. We're lamps. Picture not well, either way works. Either a powered lamp like we see today or the lamps in Jesus' day, which were just a wick. Lamps don't shine on their own. We don't shine on our own. We need to be lit. Lamps have no power to create light. They only hold the light. The power that has been transferred, or the energy that has been transferred from another source, they hold it in place. Lamps shine, but not like the sun, do they? Psalm 36:9 says this, "For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" John 8:12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." See, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will have me. John 1:9 says, the true light which gives light to everyone, even all you lamps, is coming into the world. And here's what this looks like. In other words, if we receive him as Savior, his light comes in. We become the light of the world. That has to be one of the scariest things that anyone has ever said. And I hope you're scared, and if you're not, I have just a few minutes to do it. When Jesus Christ says, "You are the light of the world," this is what he's saying a Christian should be like. So, okay, hold your breath. Light exposes darkness. If you are light, that means your life should be so beautiful that when it comes in contact with any other parts of the environment, the beauty of your life shows up the other things for what they really are. For example, if you're a Christian, then just by your very presence, you show up. You reveal the dishonesty in the business. You reveal the gossip in the office. You reveal the racism in your neighborhood. You reveal the corruption in your political ward. You reveal the promiscuity in your party. Just simply by being a Christian, you walk in and it immediately makes the racism look like racism. It makes the promiscuity look like promiscuity. It makes the gossip look like gossip. It makes the corruption look like corruption just by you saying, "I'm going to live according to the truth, to the beauty of Jesus Christ." If your life, by its order and by the way you handle pressure and the way in which you take criticism, by the way in which you treat people who work under you, if you're like Jesus Christ, the beauty of that is going to show up the reality of the environment. A good light shows you real color, right? So last night, we were looking at ties. I was looking at a tie with Isaac. Or was it two nights ago? Two nights ago, Friday night, because you had a Saturday morning deal you needed a tie for. And he needed a black tie, and I showed him one. He said, "Dad, that's navy." I said, "No, son, this is a black tie." "No, Dad, that is navy." And so what did we do? We turned on the light in the closet. "Hell, see? This is clearly black." "No, Dad, that is a navy tie." And I wanted to keep getting into brighter and brighter environments just to prove that I was right. Because true light reveals color. A real good light shows you the real colors. And if you're a Christian walking like Jesus Christ, then the beauty of your life shows everybody around you what is good and what is bad. And you know the phrase "good deeds" here, where it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds." There are two Greek words that can be used for good: agathos or kalos. Agathos means good quality. Good quality. But that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here is kalos. And kalos means beautiful. It says that your deeds ought to be beautiful. People ought to see the way you live and say, that is a life well lived. And I think of two grandmas. My grandma Arona. Her life was beautiful. So humble. So charitable. So generous. And so grounded. And I think of Amy's grandma James. Her life was full of red lipstick and loud laughter and enthusiasm and passion and fire, but so generous, so beautiful. A life well lived. And that's the question. Is your life so remarkable that it shows up the contrast between the beauty of Christ and what's around you? Or do you blend in and there's nothing remarkable about your life at all? And there's nothing about you that stands out. I want to know. And God wants to know. See, I told you, there's a scary part of this. It's a scary thing to ask yourself. If you're light, that means the beauty of your life shows up and it displays the reality of the colors around you, both in your own life and those you come in contact with. And that's scary, because what are people going to say? But God is a fountain of courage. It takes courage to be the light. It takes courage to decide not to compromise and blend anymore. Are you willing to just be? Are you willing to be? Not to try and do anything in particular, but to be the light. That's the question as we end. Are you the light of the world? The answer is, number one, you have to be lit. Have you ever been lit? Has the light of Christ ever come into your life? That's the question to ask. Are you converted? Are you born again? The only way to answer that is if Jesus' light has come into your life. There's been a light bulb moment. And, oh, yes moment. Have you had that? Has there been a light bulb moment for you? That moment when you realize, I am so proud and so broken and so tired. And I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. But you are good. You love me and you're willing to forgive me. Have you had that moment where you believe it's true? And then the light comes on in you. If that hasn't happened, then you haven't been lit. Is it happening right now? Give yourself to Him, and you're lit. And you are the light of the world. Let's pray for courage right now. Lord, I don't think we need to preach today about what to do. I think people know what to do because your Spirit lives inside your church. So give us the courage to be who you have called us to be, who you've shaped us and made us to be. And you said to us, Lord, you are the light of the world. We embrace that truth, that gospel truth. It floods us with hope and with courage. And I pray that we live that way, Lord, with freedom and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.